Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining me on Thrive. This is your host, Maureen Moss. My guest tonight is someone whose work and authenticity I admire and respect immensely, which is why I wish to have this conversation with him tonight. His name is Lee Harris, and in my 3 decades in radio, both as the owner of the World Puja Network and radio host, only once have I hosted a channel. Lee Harris is an exception. He is an exceptional, impeccable, globally acclaimed channel of the Z's, a brilliant group of spokespeople for consciousness, which you'll find out, and a brilliant master of energy with a keen awareness about the new paradigm and what it holds for humanity. Lee has a profound understanding of the human dynamics and emotions, coupled with the knowledge of the world of energy, and nearly 1 million people worldwide have been touched and are touched each month by Lee and the brilliant beings of light that work through him as they bring forth their wisdom, insight, and love from beyond the realms of planet Earth onto the screen of YouTube and in Lee's fascinating book, Energy Speaks. And for those of you that are not amongst the 1 million and may not know Lee yet, here's how Lee introduces himself to the world. You are everything, but mostly you are love. Now is your time. My work and my passion is to bring my gifts as a channeler and energy intuitive to our fast-changing world. I offer my channelings, messages, and observations for you to experience within your own freedom. They are not attached to any religion or ideology. Instead, they are grounded in the most fundamental truth. You are love, and you have within you the power to transform and elevate your life and the life of others. You are everything, and when you remember this, everything and anything is possible. Lee's website is LeeHarrisEnergy.com. His latest book, In Tandem with Aziz, is Energy Speaks, and available on Lee's website and on Amazon. Welcome, Lee.
Thank you so much for having me. Hi, Maureen.
Hi. What a pleasure. And I absolutely love what I just read that you have on the front page of your website. And that's why I took that rather than going into your whole bio. And I'd like to get your point of view on the fact that you said to everyone, you are everything. And when you remember this, everything and anything is possible.
Yeah, I think within spirituality and your own personal search, I think we all have different ways of interpreting what we've benefited from our expansion or our awakening. But for me, it really is that simple. My personal experience has been that the more I have opened and the more I have grown, the more I start to see everything and feel everything in everything. And I think one of the biggest hindrances to people opening up is the amount of disconnection that we have been talked into, if you like, by our world. And that's the paradigm that's now breaking. And so I do believe that this is a time where we're seeing people open up to the power that they have inside them, which will always, always be far beyond anything they either thought themselves to be able to do or previously knew themselves to be able to do. But then also that love really is the greatest power. That's the truth for me. Doesn't mean that we don't have fear and duality on the planet, but you know, every time I have seen love in action and the frequency of love, it literally raises, transforms people, areas of land. So that for me is the focus in my own personal journey and also my work, because to me there's no questioning the truth of that.
Mm-hmm. And you know, before we go further tonight, Lee, and talk about what's happening to all of humanity now and get a planetary update from you and definitely talk with Aziz to help all of those gain a clearer understanding on their rapidly changing lives. For those that aren't familiar with your work and the Z's, will you explain who these magnificent beings are and how it is that they came through you?
Yes, I'm 37 now, and when I was 22, I was on the London Underground where I was living, and I literally, you know how in the morning or any time in the day you can be sitting there sorting through the things that you've got to do in your head or, you know, your thoughts, and I was having just one of those experiences, and suddenly my awareness shifted from my own thoughts and, you know, my own plans for the day at the time. I suddenly realized that there was this other voice in my head, and it was coming very clearly from the left-hand side of my body, and I would say it felt like it was about 10 inches above my left ear to diagonally. And of course, you know, your first, even though I was, you know, fairly open, I also had a healthy dose of skepticism around anything that was new. So I wondered, well, what is this? And I literally asked it. I think I said something along the lines of, this isn't me, is it? You're a different voice. And they were like, yes. And that was it. Whenever I wanted to talk to them, and still to this day the same is true, I can just talk to them and they're there. So they're always there. Whether or not we're in dialogue or not is a different matter. But what happened then was I started testing it. So for several months, I would ask many, many questions every day. On all sorts of topics. So some things were personal, some things were global, and the answers were always stunning to me. And I had been exposed to one channeler at that point, and my friend had taken me to visit him for a reading. And I think it was maybe around a year earlier or something. And so the funny thing I did wonder in retrospect was I thought, oh, I wonder if just being in the orbit of that channeler helped open something. Although I remember coming away from him and going, well, he could have just been making that up. I mean, it was very clever, but, you know, so I still had that classic skepticism that people have about channeling, which is, where is this coming from? Is the person making it up? And this was 15 years ago, too. So, you know, the world was more suspicious then of energy than it is now. And that was kind of it, really. I just started helping friends in my life with what the Z's brought through. And then 9 years ago, I did my first reading at the encouragement of a friend, and that was it. The rest is kind of history.
That's wonderful. So are you in daily conversation with them then?
Well, what I often hear with them is laughter. So, for example, when you ask me that question, I hear a lot of laughter above my head. And I am in daily conversation with them, but at the same time, there are some days where I won't have conversation with them. It just really depends on what's going on in my life. But at the same time, my sensory experience of them is always accessible.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And, you know, in the beginning of your book, Energy Speaks, Zeodora, which I know we'll speak with later, she shared this. She said, you are not finished yet in your life, anywhere near the way you want to be. So if you are happier than you have ever been at this time, that must surely be wonderful news, because I'm telling you, it's just about to get better and better and better. So many people, Lee, seem to be going through so much unraveling and upheaval in their lives as the not-so-subtle energies continues its pulling and tugging on all of us. So what would you have to say about this, which doesn't seem to make many happier than they ever have been in these particular moments in time?
Well, it's interesting, and I think this is the problem with any quote or any channel or anything. You can take it in so many different ways, and what I receive from that encouragement is it's almost asking people to keep the faith and hold on. I think, you know, from my own personal experience, I went through the most profound level of awakening I'd ever gone through at the beginning of 2009. And then promptly my whole world, as I knew it at the time, fell apart. Yeah. And I remember, very unlike me, I remember crying every single day, apart from about two, for 6 months. Yeah. And I remember that it was apart from two because I remember noticing them. And I think by the time I got through to October of that year, I felt really deathly, to the point where I was questioning why carry on, really. You know, I really couldn't lift myself out of this consistent unraveling pain that just kept coming and coming and coming. And it made me very isolated, and my sensitivity was through the roof. And it was interesting because one of the things that kept me going at that time, and this was the conversation I had with myself in the darkest week, was, well, you understand the principle of contraction and expansion because you teach it and you've lived it. So if this is how low I've gone, lower than I've ever gone in my life, that I didn't even know was possible, then I'm curious to see what comes next. And that was the turning point moment for me where I feel like I started turning back towards life. And it's really interesting because I can say now three and a half years later, I'm definitely happier and stronger than I've ever been. And that is even in the midst of seeing and feeling things going on for people in my life or areas of the world or things that are happening to the planet that I can't say I'm happy about. You know, I can't say I'm just walking around in bliss while these things are going on all around me because we're part of a whole. But I have learned to understand that I incarnated into this time, and there was a period where I didn't want, you know, I wanted to fight that. I was like, damn it, why did I come to the planet now? And then what the Z's constantly reminded me was that you're in a time of opening, but it's not going to be easy for people. So I think at the moment there is a mass awakening happening, and they've talked about this for years. They've basically said you will see people's hearts breaking open and it will look ferocious. And they've also said that many people who've gone through the awakening will be stabilizing forces for others because we've gone through a level of dark night of the soul that maybe people are only walking into for the first time now. Mm-hmm. So for me, the truth of Zayadora's words relates very much to what's possible for you as a spiritual human being. But when I look at what's going on in the planet right now, I think what we're being asked to shake loose from is the human confines that we have lived in, and also the blinkers that we were asked to wear and that we agreed to wear while we lived in that confine. And now mm-hmm. suddenly people are seeing the damage that's been caused to the planet over the last decades, and it's very clear and it's very evident, and also some of the systems and some of the corruption. So it's not an easy time. But one of the things that I keep reminding myself if I get challenged is, do I feel alive? And I'm like, yeah, I feel more alive than I've ever felt. And ultimately, that's why we came here, to have a life experience, to be the life force. And I think so many people on the planet right now want positive change.
Yes.
But what I've come to understand is, just as when I was, you know, down in the depths of deep depression and couldn't lift myself, it's only when you start to lift yourself that not only is it your external environment that will change because of your internal environment, but you will, it's not just your perception that changes because your internal lifts, it's that you actually start having a more positive vibrational effect on those around you. So it is a difficult time, but at the same time, I feel so heartened when I see things like Edward Snowden or people uprising against a corrupt mm-hmm. government. In some ways, I wish we were all living in paradise, meditating, but that's not where we're at. So one of the things that brought me back to life was going, okay, this isn't how I thought the future would be, and it's harder at times than I'm expecting, but am I happy to stay, and are there expansive experiences I'm still having? Yeah, without question, if not more so. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, I think, probably something I can offer to people from personal experience.
And I find too, Lee, that in and amongst this sometimes pummeling feeling that we have, or being brought into a compost pile in order that, as a friend of mine, the lotus begins to bloom anew, there is something very seductive and enchanting about the mystery that we're all in and amongst right now. And there's something fascinating about it as well. This has been my experience. And even when I am going through my own stuff, like everybody else does, I notice that in days of old, there would be an underlying little stream running through that there's something wrong with you. And mm-hmm. that stream has stopped. And now that where I am, and I've spoken to many, there's an underlying stream of, this is fascinating, and I really am interested to find out what's around the corner.
And I agree with you.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? And I think for the people who are probably sitting listening to us thinking we're mad, those people are still too underneath their situation. So, you know, when you're underneath your situation, if you're stressed in your life or you've got too many dependents on you and you're giving all your energy away and you haven't caught that yet or you haven't changed that, then I don't think you can look at the world with fascination. I think you can only look at the world from the place of feeling like you're underneath a rock. So then you have to work on sorting yourself out and recognizing you can shift your life and you can make changes. But often there are many excuses and many attachments that we will have as to why we shouldn't, which I, you know, I've walked through loads of them. So I have complete compassion for people going through it. But it is fascinating. I agree with you. I think a couple of years ago, the fear felt a lot more dense to me than it does now. The fear is still around and it moves around, but it is interesting because I tell you what I've really noticed in the last 2 years is, and this is, could just be me personally, but it also must be a collective thing on some level, is how the global ceiling has opened. And I've particularly felt that since December 2012. I've had a far more acute awareness that we are Earth in the universe rather than Earth looking out at the universe. And that feels very, much what the next decade is going to bring to us, more of a sense of our place in the universe and more of a sense of being custodians of a planet rather than, you know, the planet just willingly looks after us, whatever we do to it, to her.
I got a lot of chills when you just said that. That's beautiful and worthy of repeating that we are going to become custodians and recognize not only are we the stewards of our lives, but custodians of this beautiful planet. I love that, Lee.
Well, it's funny. I was talking to my good friend the other day, Wendy Kennedy, who's a channeler, and we were talking about, some of the things that we've channeled on over, you know, what's going to happen with some of the darker agendas, you know, how far are they going to get with what they're trying to do? And by that, I just mean, you know, companies that are destroying things for money, which to me is so insane because money really isn't that important in our next 10 to 20 years. I mean, it's going to still play a part. We'll still probably have currency, but money is not the resource anymore. You know, the earth is now the resource that we have to nurture and look after. And I think that's a big thing for all of us. It's a learning for all of us. And I'm very grateful to all of the environmentalists out there who teach us and show us and, you know, play their role. But what we were talking about was, I was talking about how there is this real sense of, there is this sense of control around those dark agendas that to me is so strange, because I remember when I started talking to the Z's last summer about this, they were saying, no, the dark is crumbling from the inside and it simply can't sustain. Yes, it will thrash around, and we don't know how far the damage has to go, but it cannot sustain. And as I was talking and sharing that with her, I suddenly got this massive image of just the enormous power that the earth is now revving up from the inside. And how, and this is a funny thing for me to say, but I mean it, Gaia's not going to go down without a big fight. And if she has to eject people, areas of the land, she's going to do it to protect her life.
Yeah.
And there was something very comforting for me in that, because I do feel, you know, we're part of an ecosystem, and just as we don't know how long we're going to be here as an individual, because, you know, we can, the disease always reminds me we can die any minute, and it's very easy to die. You know, I also look at that collectively. I think, well, this will be a really interesting couple of decades to see how we transition from the old world to the new world.
When two things came up for me when you said that Gaia would do what she has to, because she has been in a great way quiet and deep within herself in spite of the earthquakes, volcanoes, whatever has come in the past decade. She was raising her consciousness, I feel, in a manner of silence, actually. And I feel she has her power and strength now, and in love for herself, no different than what we are being asked of ourselves. I feel for the same thing, that she's going to take care of what she needs to in love and as love.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then you had said something else, and I think it just evaded me in this moment. Oh, it was about the money, and I think a lot of people would think to themselves, okay, well, if money is not going to be the resource going forward, but I'm still getting these little white envelopes in the mail that say, okay, you have to pay your mortgage, your insurance, your rent, mm-hmm. all those things. Mm-hmm. I ask this for all that are listening. What will that then look like? Or do you have an idea from the Z's? Have they shared that with you, how that transition and transformation will take place amongst all of us?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I don't, of course, have the answer because I can't visit the future in such a certain way.
Yeah.
But one thing that they did say about 5 or 6 years ago, it was in a channel, and I can't remember which one, they talked about the removal of currency on Earth around the period of 2050 to 2060. Now, I have to be honest, that seems a hell of a way off to me in terms of what's happening and what's changing. That feels a long way off. So I know with any timeline prediction, things change and things move. For example, the Z's a long time ago said that everyone's focused on the date 21st of December 2012. They said, and there will be some shift there because of collective consciousness's focus on it. They said that the dates come forward by several years. They said, you know, from the original prediction. And I found that very interesting, and I'm not a highly scientific person. So, you know, when I hear things like that from them, I don't necessarily go and measure it and see what they mean. But I think one of the things that comes to me is not necessarily that currency will disappear, but I'm very, very aware and have been for a long time of how this idea of the rat race is going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have to pay an enormous amount for the mortgage on their house or their rent. And it does kind of keep people enslaved in the system. And I think the system being, you know, paying your taxes, giving the government whatever money it decides it needs. And I think what's going on right now for me and for a lot of people is, I'm very interested to see what the next phase of government is, because it's very clear that there are certain things that are happening for the benefit of people, and there are certain things that are being concealed. And I think we just have so much information out there on the internet now that's just coming to light, things that shock us, that we're like, yeah, really, this is what they were doing? And, you know, I think it's helping people to wake up from their complicity with, yes, I'll pay my taxes and I'll earn this money so that I can have this house and this car, which you have decided has to cost this much. You know, there's this very inspiring book that I just got called The Good Life Lab, and it's about a couple of executives who were earning a lot of money, and they felt like they were in the rat race, so they decided to leave and learn how to make everything themselves, down to salad dressing and anything they needed in the house and recycled materials. It's very inspiring and fascinating. So I don't believe money is going to be gone overnight, or that people, that the whole financial system will collapse in a way, but I do think what's happening is we're seeing a lot of people questioning who set up this money structure.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all agreed to it because that's what we were told since we were babies, but actually when we look at this money structure, we don't see how or why it's working in the way that we would like to see it working. So I think that's where there is a certain level of world revolt right now around finance and money. I think currency will stay, but I do think that people won't necessarily be needing to spend a fortune on things that don't necessarily bring them satisfaction. You know, I'd like to see more of us outside in a field dancing together at the weekend rather than, you know, going out to bars, clubs, restaurants and spending $100 or whatever people are spending. You know, when you look at it like that, actually you don't need money to have a connected experience. So I think people are awakening and connecting to themselves. And then what we're doing through that process is bringing that into our external structure and going, maybe this isn't great. And maybe actually this doesn't satisfy me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's fascinating what you said about that. And the complicity of all of the majority of humanity with the money structures and how to break free from the money game, if you will. And I remember clearly last year and the year before, I said to my accountant. I said, you know, I have this partner called the IRS, and I'm beginning to resent this so much, and it makes no sense for me anymore to do the things that I did before that just generated more revenue in service. And then I thought, really, has it been in service or in servitude? And this is going to stop for me because this isn't okay for me. And so what I'm getting to is that it really takes on everybody's part a great shift in consciousness and a deep inner consideration, as you were just speaking about, of what, not only what is important, but how does one really take themselves from the thought into the action to shift the end result.
And I think the people this is hardest for are those with dependents. So, you know, people who have children they're raising, or, you know, single parent families, and where there is not a lot of money to go round. And that's where I kind of, I feel for those people particularly, because when you are a parent, your main role on earth for the duration of that child's childhood, and probably a lot of its adulthood too, is being a parent. And so you will do everything you can to serve that. And, you know, my brother and sister, I have seven nieces and nephews between the two of them, and I have lots of friends who have kids, and they have a very different set of responsibilities to me. My responsibility is to my company and my staff, which does kind of feel like, you know, my kids and my family, but I don't have that overwhelming pressure that people have to spend on people. And that's when I look at things like, why are people having to shell out hundreds of dollars on school uniforms every term? Why are there things in the system that don't necessarily serve the family, but instead put pressure on the family? And I think that's what we have to look at reviewing now. But I think when you're desperate, you often don't have the space to stand back. You know, you're often just in your pattern and in your mode. And I think people get fixed in, well, I'm a mother and that's what I am. And it's like, well, no, you're a person too. And I think that's why I feel strongly about giving as much free content as I can, mm-hmm. because I'm aware that, you know, a lot of people are already, you know, strapped for resources at the moment. But I think what we also have to look at is, I think I hear more friends of mine talking about the school system, and I've always thought that if I had kids, my one big issue would be I don't want them to go into the school system, even though I went through it. But it wasn't a happy time for me. It wasn't the right learning I needed. And ironically, I've come out and done something completely different. So, yeah, I think there's a lot that we have to look at in what we're asked to spend money on as much as generating money. I think we have to go, do we really need this? And does the person who set the price for this really need that to be that high? You know, I'm not talking about luxury items. I'm talking about the necessities that people need, like school uniforms or things like that.
Well, what about healthcare?
Oh, don't get me started, Maureen.
Well, if we got started, it would take up the rest of our time until tomorrow, actually.
I mean, it's one of the big issues that I moved to Boulder, Colorado last August from England because I just fell in love with the place. And but I have to be honest, that the healthcare issue here really gets me mad. Mm-hmm. If I really stop and think about it, it just to me seems like such a criminal system.
It is a criminal system.
It's a system that's designed to support the military, which is also something I don't support. So I really feel for the people who feel trapped in that system or feel dependent on it, because I know that excising yourself from, you know, traditional healthcare is not an easy thing for any of us to do. I mean, if I was in a car accident tomorrow, you know, I would need to go to a hospital and have someone work on me. So I think this healthcare system in this country is one of the things that I'm most shocked about, that people have not been more angry about it.
I think that, you know what I think, Lee? I think a lot of people are angry about it, but are afraid to be proactive about it because of the very reasons that you just said. And I know, again, for myself, I just went through a pretty serious bout with a medical issue. And I was without, I chose out of the healthcare system for 10 years. And then excuse me, I chose myself back in for a year. And I recently said, no, I don't care. There are enough wonderful healers around. There are enough resources that we have within ourselves. There is support that we may not know about now. So even in the midst of something that I was going through, I resigned from the healthcare system. And I think that's what it's going to take, that kind of courage to trust that whatever we need, we will have. Because I think the medical system actually creates more problems than what we thought we were getting into to begin with.
Definitely. And I've met some great doctors, some great nurses, so it's no reflection to me on any of the people working in there. But vibrationally, it's not a place that you see an enormous amount of growth occurring, even though I also know friends who are spiritual who undenied over should I have this operation, and then they did have it, and it worked for them, and they're glad they did. But I think the biggest piece for me that's missing, and it's very interesting, I'll finish the other sentence. The biggest piece for me that's missing is education about self-care and food. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting to me that the United States is one of the places that puts fluoride in the water, which is not good for the human body on any level. And so I don't drink tap water here. And also, the food here is so much more junk focused and full of so many more chemicals. So to me, the food industry and the health industry are in bed together, because basically the food industry are helping make people sick, and then the health industry are taking their money to make them better and taking amounts that to me are just unbelievable. Like friends of mine have explained what they're paying in their health insurance, and I'm like, well, at least you know you're covered, kind of joking, because I'm horrified at what they're paying. And they went, well, no, I'd still have to pay. This just means I don't have to pay $100,000. I just have to pay $10,000.
Right.
And I'm like, you are absolutely kidding, aren't you? So it's a shocking system to me, coming from England, where you can walk into a hospital and not give any ID and get treated.
Yes.
And it made me very sad in 2008 when I saw all these people on the streets of New York hobbling with all sorts of physical issues that I hadn't seen in homeless people in England. And they obviously just can't go and get treatment anywhere. And I was like, wow, it's kind of an irony that America so often touted itself as, you know, the kind of the land of plenty. And someone said to me, someone I don't know very well said to me, did you move to America to make your fortune? And I was like, no, that wasn't my motivation at all. And to be honest, I think if anyone's focused on making their financial fortune now, they're focusing in the wrong place. So, it's kind of an irony to me that there is so much slavery in the system in this country compared to what I've come from in Europe.
Yes, absolutely. And I think you use the right word, slavery and servitude, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering last question about this issue, have Aziz said anything to you about healthcare in the future at all?
No, they haven't said anything about healthcare, but I did a broadcast with Wendy Kennedy last October, and it was called 2013 and Beyond, and it was a video and audio broadcast. And in that, there was a section of the Z's channel where they said, in the coming few years, you're going to see a wave of health issues. And they said that the health issues are going to come up and be focused so that the source can be found. And to be honest, I'm already wondering. I mean, I follow this stuff. I kind of look at what's going on, and I'm so grateful for people who are out there, you know, doing what they're doing around food or around chemtrails or around anything that's going on to do with the environment that's having a big effect on the human body.
Mm-hmm.
And so energetically, there is a lot that we can do to raise our frequency. Physically, there's a lot that we can do to help keep our body as light and as looked after as possible. But ultimately, we are living in an increasingly toxic environment. And I feel like we're the generation that, you know, have already had many casualties because of that. You know, I question the cancer piece myself. I'm like, well, where is that coming from? Because it's a modern world disease. So is it phones? Is it wireless? Is it food? Is it all of the above? I don't have the answer, but I'm keeping my eyes on all of the areas with interest to see what is it that's going to be revealed as the source of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, your show is called Thrive, and I saw the movie Thrive, and I very much enjoyed what they were doing in terms of trying to present things. And one of the things I didn't know before I saw that movie was that, you know, a cure for cancer has been found many times and suppressed, and laboratories have been burned. And you just think, wow, this is really unbelievable what we're living in right now. But at the same time, if you think about how all of these things are coming to light and currently people are working to change them, that's the first time in certainly the last 100 years that I know that this has been going on. So it's interesting, isn't it, to think, wow, what world will come after all of this is kind of ironed out and moved out, however long that process takes?
Yes, it is interesting. It is fascinating. And it is really, although it's such a daunting time in so many ways on this planet, it is the most amazing movie I have ever watched.
That's a really good way of putting it. And yeah, just again, because I know that you and I, possibly because we've gone through the Dark Knight soul experience, it's kind of easier for me to not detach myself from feeling about what's going on the planet, but to detach myself from just my humanity, because I don't exist in just my humanity very often.
Right.
And, you know, I've kind of had a much more soul-led life for recent years. So I think it's easier for me to remember that we're having an experience here, and that when we die, as disease say, it's amazing. But I think there is this, you know, incredible fear. And so if anyone is out there listening to us really in the thick of the fear and the low, it is an irony that you have to burn off those layers. And also, I think, get comfortable with going that low so that you start coming back. And then when you come back, suddenly your appreciation for life has increased tenfold. It's the same as people who have a near-death experience and then come back. It gives you the opportunity to realize how you weren't living a sensory life before. And suddenly you can feel and sense everything because you got close to the place where death realms become a sensory experience rather than a physical experience. Mm-hmm. So I think that's an important one for everyone to remember if they're struggling right now, to just focus on their body, looking after themselves. It will pass and it can lift.
I think that's beautiful advice, and I thank you for that. So I'm excited, as I bet the audience is too, to meet disease. And I'm wondering if perhaps Zachariah, and let me share this before we even get into this. In Energy Speaks, Lee and Aziz, fantastic book. There's, did you say 8 chapters? I think I actually read the whole thing. Is it 8 chapters that Aziz is speaking in?
There are 8 chapters from Aziz, and then the 9th chapter is a big, an extended interview with me about channeling and energetics. Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely wonderful. And as I was reading it, loving Zach, well, all of it actually, and beginning with Zachary offered such a beautiful approach to understanding abundance in a whole different way. And I'm wondering if Zachary would be willing to have a conversation with our audience about abundance differently.
Yes. I'll give me just a few seconds.
By all means.
Abundant souls, all of you. This is not necessarily the belief you were given in your human pattern and program, for in your human pattern and program, you were shown areas in which you were supposed to walk or place yourself in order to feel abundant. Ceilings were placed on your abundance. You were told you would have great love if you married another. You were told you would feel successful if you went to the top position in your company. You were told that you would feel safe and secure and be safe and secure if you had plenty of money such that it would never run out. Yet with all of these stories, you have all seen the other side. You have seen the very difficult divorce or the people who cannot make a marriage sustain its energy of love. You have seen people lose their jobs overnight or be slaving themselves to take this money home that can never fill the energy that they are giving out to something they are not strictly enjoying. And so this is a time in your, what we would call, new paradigm on Earth, where all of you are returning to the abundance that tribes know. For tribal living is a sensory experience. It is where a human being is living in connection with the land and also having an experience with the other, the person in front of them, the other tribe member, in a very whole, fulfilled, sensory, open way. Yet your society has been, shall we say, bracketed in the Western world. You have all been told to watch this, do this, look at this. The question is, why and by whom? Who does it serve to have all of these people running on a hamster wheel every day? The people it has been serving are losing their grip, shall we say. And they are doing this for two reasons. The energetics on your planet have become so much higher than ever before. This is not easy for any of you to go through, for it tends to shake loose all of the buildings. If you think of your twin towers going down in 2001, this is the same principle as to what is occurring now. There are buildings falling down, left, right, and center in people's worlds, because these higher vibrations do not require such dense structures for you to exist in. For if you start to feel without the structure, why do you need the structure anymore? So you could all argue, well, we cannot become completely amorphous from structure, but what we are saying to you is, you will build new structures. This is why we have so often spoken about the new earth and the new structures. It is not that structure in itself will disappear. It is that the structures you know will be reinvented, re-energized, but you are still in what we would call the demolition phase. And this is expected to go on between 2013 and 2017. There will be no overnight bang for the world, for the energies are being kept steady enough that this transition can be gone through with as little pain and suffering for humanity as possible. Not because humanity is seen as more important by spirit than Gaia or any other aspect of the universe, but because humanity is going to be a universal leader in energies that the universe is requiring. For this is a vast galaxy that you live in, and there is all sorts of life in your universe, but the Earth holds a particular frequency around heart and love that is still very unique. And in the coming years and decades, there is going to be more of an understanding of the unique qualities of the earthbound human. The reason that so many earthbound humans feel so, shall we say, down on themselves is because this is how they have been taught to feel. For example, if you look at your movie theater, what is it that you are offered as entertainment? It is 80% violence, fear, and anxiety. It is 20% lightness, comedy, relationship. So you have to understand that when this is being pumped at you 7 days a week, you have to ask, why is this being pumped into people? It is because that vibration keeps people held in a certain place, which means they do not come to know their own sentient gifts that would overnight transform this planet as more and more people open to them. So this is the dance that you are in, and this is why humanity is important from our perspective.
Thank you so much, Zachary. That was beautiful, and beautiful food for consideration from our hearts. Lee, I wonder if we can meet for a moment Zachariah, who speaks about forgiveness in a wonderful way, and how simply we can begin to reprogram our regrets and the burdens that so many carry within them as a result of the past. Would she be willing to speak with us?
Yes, this is good. It is good to be here. This is a good topic. We are glad you have chosen this, and thank you for asking me to come forward on this, for it is so important for everyone to understand that where you have not forgiven, you are still carrying the luggage of another. So, for example, if you have a fight with someone and you walk away and you do not contact this person again, many of you will still be carrying a small box somewhere inside your body that holds the residue of this fight. Why? Because It holds a density that you were previously aligned with, that you explosively stepped away from. And so what we mean by this is when two people in a relationship have a fight, it is usually because all at once, several elements within them that were previously suppressed or unseen rise to the surface. And as they rise to the surface very fast, they clash with the parts of the other person. You see, fights tend to happen only because of expectation and past wounds. Where a person has no expectation of another, there is nothing to fight about. This is easier said than done for most of you, for you have all been trained to have expectations about your life. Again, we remind you of what we have touched on as a group here. You have been trained to divorce yourself from your power, and there are subtle and more gross examples of how this training runs through your world. So the first step to do is to see it in order to divorce yourself from it. It is the same with a fight. If you have been in a fight with somebody, ask yourself, what is it that they have so, shall we say, tweaked in me that it causes this energy reaction? Because the beauty is, once the person has tweaked you, they are now redundant in the scenario. They have played their part, and they can now go to their side of the table and put down their chips. You are now left with your hand of cards and the stain that you feel this other person has put on your cards. But you see, life isn't going to, shall we say, bring to you whatever it is life needs to bring to you so that you keep expanding. And many of you who have been the victims of others, it is for you to understand that while you were impacted by somebody, you can always push the dent the other way. And so it is for everyone to learn how to release the dents in themselves that they are still carrying or holding from a fight with another, because the resentment you feel is no longer about the other person. The resentment you feel is now inside your body and causing dis-ease. Yes, there is a reason that word is so prevalent in the illness field as well, for any imbalance in the body can start to have a knock-on effect on the physical body. So the reason that we speak to you of giving yourself to forgiveness is because if you really stop and think about it, those of you who believe in life as an eternal timeline, you simply do not have time to go back through all of the lifetime's worth of grievances you might have because you got upset in a certain moment. If you were doing that, none of you would be doing anything new. So you have to start to understand that your forgiveness path is not so much about another person hurt you. It is more that another person put their finger on a place inside you that was either already hurting or that was capable of not, shall we say, pushing back against the force of their action. Instead, there was no resistance in you. There was no boundary to what it was they threw at you. So the gift of, for example, somebody in your life being very mean to you in a way that hurts and wounds you is that once you have worked your way back through that wound, you will no longer be able to be hurt in that place. This is why sometimes your greatest enemies are your great soul contracts, because they are the people and the souls that you feel safest enough with to go through great drama, great pain, great cataclysm. The other thing you have to understand is that to blame another human is to wrongly assume that they think, feel, or see things the way you do. There is absolutely no individual on earth who will ever, ever, ever see, feel, and think about things the way you do. You are all completely unique. So it is your own unique wound button that gets pushed in a fight. And there is often great learning in these times. So forgive yourself for any experience you had that was negative, and forgive them. It is so freeing. And if you find it difficult or you feel resistant, reciting daily words such as, I forgive this person, or I forgive myself, over and over, will start to have an alchemical effect on your energy field and will help you to reset yourself. Your words are so powerful, and when you use them in directional ways, you will be amazed at how your energy field can open.
Thank you so much for that, Zephariah. Beautiful, beautiful. What a blessing to have those words spoken.
We would like to add something here, if that is okay.
Please.
What is important for you all to understand is the reason that you forget to use your words as affirmations is that you are surrounded by words that are mostly of lower frequencies. There are some that are what we would call neutral, and then there are a growing wave of words on the planet, both through your media, the non-controlled media we refer to here, and also through your own experiences with being more open with your words with people you know, and how emotional communication is growing on the planet as compared to 30 or 40 years ago. So it is important to understand that while there are some positive words around you, it is so easy for many of you to forget the positivity of words and the power that that can bring to both the planet and to the energy field of another being. So remember, you will forget, and then you will start to give yourself a discipline around remembering to say something positive to yourself, or about your difficult situation as an immediate, simple, and accessible way of reprogramming yourself. But you will forget because you are asked to be distracted by such low vibrations all of the time. And there is a reason for that. It is to keep you trapped.
Oh, thank you so much. That's food for thought. That's food for thought. Thank you so much, Zephariah. And I'd like to talk for a moment to Zidora, as the eloquence that is spoken from Zidora regarding the heart as a force, as its own planet, as a center of our being, feels to me important to really expand upon, if you wouldn't mind, Zidora.
The most expanded chakra in the system of human beings at this time is the base. And this can be a wonderful thing, for the base is powerful. It is the area through which you birth life, creativity, the life force of nurture. But the heart is the area that this planet is most needing to open to bring itself to balance, which is why so much focus has been on the heart in recent decades. It is not a simple, a single chakra. It is affecting and connecting to all of your energy system. So as you start to open the heart, it has a profound effect on the love energy field that reverberates through and all around your body. So opening the heart is the best chakra to aim for in terms of general awareness development and energetic development. For if you keep focusing on opening your heart, the rest of the chakras will respond very quickly. There are some of you who may have identified certain blockages in certain areas, and so you will want to focus on those. But the reason that I and we speak so much of heart energy is because it is of enormous value on Earth. This is why so many are still scared to use their hearts, because you have been asked to segment the way in which you feel love, to organize the places, the areas, the moments in which you feel your expanded heart. And yet the greatest gift any of you can do is open your heart. Those of you who have seen a loved one in the last days of their life before they transition to death, you will notice that for many of them, one of two things takes place. They either become more heartfelt and more open, or they start rapidly cycling through pain and grief in order to clear themselves as much as possible before their transition from the physical body, so they do not have to process as much on the soul planes. The reason for this is through the heart you can connect with everything, but you have all been taught to use your other energy centers. The problem with a base chakra that is open without heart is it can be used to fuel destructive or difficult actions towards others and the planet. But when people have opened their base and their heart, the rest start moving very, very quickly in general. Understand here that some people may focus on opening their third eye, for that is the area they most need to access their power in order for the rest to follow. But in general terms, if you place your hand on your heart each day, just for a few moments or a few minutes, and say words such as, I love myself, I open my heart to myself, I love this planet and all of the life force upon it, this will help you to start to open that center, and the more that center is present with you when you go out into the world, the more connected your experiences will be. We will add one caveat. The people who open their heart faster than they are feeling capable of or have a great deal of anxiety running may find it difficult to go out into the world with an open heart. So take it slow, but when you are at home with yourself, you can always safely open your heart. And the more you do this, the more the energy of fear will start to leave your body.
Thank you so much, Theodora. Thank you to all of you. Lee, do you have closing words as we come to the conclusion of our conversation? Brilliant conversation. Fascinating conversation.
Thank you. I think, the thing I would say, and I mentioned this in the July energy forecast, which by the way, I'm having a break from the forecasts in August, so I kind of designed this July energy forecast to cross August as well. I think that the most important thing for everybody right now is to keep working on finding their center. And whether you're someone who is being an environmental activist right now, or whether you're someone who is staying at home and meditating and holding positive energy, and that's your way of contributing to the shift on the planet, I think it's really important, whatever situation you're in, you keep coming back to your center, because it is chaotic and people are in need. More people than ever are in need. And the thing about need that's tricky is when you're in need, you don't necessarily pay attention to the food source that you're walking towards and wonder, will it still have any tomorrow? So I often talk about energy as food, because we do share our energy with each other, and there is also a syndrome that can happen where people kind of just feed off each other. And that can be difficult if one person is consistently draining another person to try and stay afloat. So I think working on keeping your own center, knowing that, yes, it is chaotic, but there is an incredible heart center within it for you if you keep coming back to that in yourself, and to give as much as you can and as much as feels right to, but also to recognize the need is on the rise. And so your old self might go through some struggle around how much you want to give versus how much you're capable of giving. And especially those of you who are in the healer or the nurturer position for others in your life, it's important to make sure you're looking after yourself too, because these energy waves are really strong. So the more you can listen to your body, does it need to nap more? Do you need more fresh air? Do you need to stay in? Just follow what your body wants as much as you possibly can, and it will help you to stay centered, because there is an enormous amount of growth that's happening every single day for all of us. And if you just keep coming back to your center all of the time, the growth will happen naturally and in the easiest way. But if you find yourself chasing, I must get this scenario to feel safe, I must get this amount of money so that I can survive, feel the desperation in that and see if you can not necessarily change your action, but change the energy you're putting behind it and go, okay, well, at the moment, I need more money. I trust it will come. I don't know how it's going to come, but I'll work on just trusting and reminding myself that in this moment, I'm alive, I'm breathing, I'm okay. Because a lot of the fear and the chaos energy takes us out of our center, and then we lose our magnetism and our alchemical power.
Thank you, Lee. I thank you for this beautiful conversation, and offer my deep gratitude to you and love to Zachary Zafaria and Theodora. I want to remind our audience that Lee's website is leeharrisenergy.com, and the book Energy Speaks is available on Lee's website, as well as Amazon. There are so many incredible YouTube videos with Lee and the Z's, and also the energy forecasts both on YouTube, on video, and also the transcription about it as well, or of it, are also on his website. For all of you, thank you so much for joining all of us. It was a pleasure to give you another option and way and means to thrive. This is your host, Maureen Moss, and as always, I remind you to know that you are loved. Namaste.